We've been talking over the past, well, we just started last week. Pastor Perry opened up this subject about your heritage, intentionally thinking about the legacy that you leave behind. And there's a lot of factors that have to do with our legacy. And I'm grateful for the permission that he's given me today, that Pastor Lois and Perry gave me, to speak to all of you about specifically about a spiritual legacy. But I want to open up legacy a little bit bigger. And it's interesting that this week, Shiloh and I have started the process again, but we started it in a real way of creating a will. Yes, some of you are probably going, what are you doing that now for? You should have done that years ago. I should have done that years ago, because every parent in here has already made their will, right? Yeah. What is a will? A will is a document, a legal document that consists of all of the things that you want to pass on to the next generation, right? It reflects the accumulation of goods and resources that you've gathered during your life. Houses, cars, accounts, finances. Because hopefully you, all of you, hopefully have created a material legacy. But the question I want to raise today is, as we continue considering our heritage, the things that we leave behind, what kind of a spiritual legacy are you leaving behind? How much of God are you transferring to the next generation? Are you with me? I heard Rick Warren say recently that Christianity really is just one generation away from extinction. Think about that. God never meant for his story to stop because there was no legacy to carry it on. All through Scripture, we see examples that the knowledge of him, his plan in the world, would be continued by his people passing it on from one generation to the next. In Psalm 71, starting with verse 17, it says, since my youth, God, you've taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, my God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your mighty acts to all who will come. Also in Psalm 78, it says, I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we've heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from our descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. We will tell of his power and the wonders that he has done. So this is what we're going to talk about this morning. In addition to our material legacy, and again, I pray that each one of us is blessed to have a great material legacy to pass on. But how much of God will be transferred? Because if all of our legacy, if all it is things that you can spend, those things have little or no eternal value to them. You realize that. They're used up. And if that's the only legacy that we've created, then unfortunately, I believe that our children are going to be fighting about the wrong things. They're going to be fighting for the wrong things. They're going to be fighting about what's mine, what's yours, what's coming to me, how much did you get? If there's little or no God left behind, then we've missed the point, haven't we? If the things that we did in our life didn't point to the reality of a living God who loves us beyond comprehension, then what did our life point to? But this just isn't true of our nuclear family, our biological family, the ones we live with. I want to expand your thinking and realize that spiritual legacies really are part of what we give and what we receive in our spiritual family. God wants us to be associated with a spiritual family. The fact that we belong to a church together. Because in this place, we both receive a spiritual legacy from each other and we also give a spiritual legacy. Did you know that? Just to get on the same page, I want to define spiritual legacy like this. Your legacy is the stuff that you do today that influences the kingdom of God in the future. And that can be good stuff or bad stuff. What is your spiritual legacy? How much of a big deal about a great God are you leaving behind every day of your life? Who do you think of when you think of ones who have left a spiritual legacy? As I talk about leaving a great spiritual legacy, as I started thinking about this, some of the first names that came to mind were people like Martin Luther. I grew up Lutheran, but what a great legacy the Reformation was. You might think of Bill Hammond or Bill Hybels or Billy Graham or Billy Johnson. There's a lot of Bills. I don't know who's speaking into your life and encouraging your faith. Could be any one of them. It could be Joyce Myers or Beth Moore. Could be. And if you have a friendship with any of those people, then that's great. But I want us to sort of close in on what's more reachable for each one of us. Think about people who are closer to you. Think more along the lines of someone that you know. Someone that you're friends with. Somebody that you do life with. Someone you walk with. You see, you don't have to have a huge following or be famous in the world's eyes to leave a great spiritual legacy. Did you catch that? You don't have to have a huge following or be famous in the world to be one who leaves a great spiritual legacy. You can be young or old and start today leaving a great spiritual legacy. I'm going to read from Ephesians 5, and there's quite a bit of it. I'm going to do this. So listen, in fact, as I read God's word, I believe there's power in God's word. I would even encourage you, if you wanted to close your eyes and just listen. Ephesians 5, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even the hint of sexual immorality or any kind of impurity or any greed, because these are improper for God's people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather have thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it was said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. This is the best part. This is why we're reading Ephesians 5. Making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. You see, God has created his kingdom in such a way that every believer has the opportunity every moment of every day to spiritually influence others around you. His word says, make the most of every opportunity. Every one of us is leaving behind a legacy of some kind. We're all making footprints. We're all leaving impressions wherever we go. That's just the way it is. I found a couple pictures to help me remember what happens wherever I go and whenever I go and whatever I do, whatever I'm doing. If you're following me, I found this picture. Here's a little example. It's a little bit blurry, but you can see what's happening. That's a water skier, and he's splashing. He's leaving a big splash. Wherever I go, whatever lake I'm skiing in, I can get you wet. I can splash you. Wherever I go, whatever I do, and whatever I say, I can point you to the reality that there is a good God who loves you and has a good plan for you, or I cannot. But I'll splash you wherever I go with something. My behavior, the things that I do, my behavior is based on my belief. When people see the way I act, they see what I believe. When people see the way you act, they see what you believe. St. Francis of Assisi, he was a monk, pretty famous, but he's known for saying this. He says, share the gospel wherever you go. And if you have to, has anybody heard it? Use words. Another picture that I think reminds me, do you know what that is? It's an essential oils diffuser. It's an aroma diffuser, right? That little machine can make the whole room smell good. Shiloh and I have one in our bedroom, and I love the smell of peppermint when I'm going to bed. It's awesome. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, see this with me. But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession, always leads us in victory. And through us, God spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Who are the ones that you know that smell like the mercy and the grace and the love of God? Who are the ones that you know who have splashed you with the reality that there's a good God who has a good plan for your life? I can think of a lot of people who have influenced me in that way. But there's one person that stands out, not any greater or less than anyone else, but just stands out in a unique way. I found a picture on Facebook of a lady named Rosie Turnbull. I know her very well, her husband Gail, and it was a picture of him and her looking at each other with just love in their eyes. But I love Rosie, and here's why. Rosie is a lady who was working with the youth ministry at the church where I grew up in as a student, as a child. And she went out of her way every day that I saw her to encourage me and to get to know me. And one day when I was 16 years old, she had written me a note and mailed it to me in the mail. And when I got home from school, this letter was waiting for me on my bed, and I opened it up. And I remember, just like it was yesterday, I sat on the carpet in my room and just sat on the floor, and I read this note. This isn't the exact note, but this is what I remember she told me in this note. She told me that she believed that God was calling me to serve him with my life. This is 1989. And she reminded me that I've been chosen by God and that I'm one of his important people. She told me that I was a starting player on God's team. She told me I was part of an important family. She said that the story of my life was important. She said that I belonged to God, that I'm the one who carries the glory of God, just like the priests in the Old Testament carried the tabernacle. Check out the scripture in 2 Peter. Check this out in 1 Peter chapter 2. I think I said 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference that he made for you, from nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. You know what Rosie wrote to me was right there in scripture, word for word. Just she made it her own words. And you know what? When Rosie told me, I listened. I've never forgotten it. I'm a member of a holy people, a chosen race. Never forgotten it. Listen to me. You are the ones God has chosen. He's not only inviting, but he's trusting you to carry the glory of God with you wherever you go every day that you're alive. You belong to a very important group of people. You're the one that God wants to use to do his work. You're the voice that God wants to speak for him. God wants you to tell everyone of the difference that he's made in your life. God took you from nothing and made you something, something amazing. Your sins had separated you from God, but Jesus made a way for you to be forgiven. And he now accepts you as if it never happened. He doesn't even see it anymore. This is true of you and of me. I hope that we're listening. Because this is true, look at Matthew 5:16. You've heard this before, but in light of what I just said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Folks, our life is about something way bigger than this. It's way bigger than getting up, going to work, paying the bills, and doing it again. It's bigger than that. We've been recruited and we've also been equipped to leave a spiritual legacy behind us. This is the truth. If we make his business our business, we will lack nothing and we will need nothing. I guarantee it. I'm going to read some more scripture. You've probably heard this verse too, but in light of what I just said, if we make his business our business, we will need nothing and lack nothing. Listen to this. This is God's word. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin cloth. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You have little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. This is the most important part. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. We've been recruited and we've been equipped to build the kingdom of God. And this is the truth. If we make his business our business, we won't need anything and we won't lack anything. Focus on the Family is a publishing house, a ministry organization, and they've published a book. It's a book that's kind of the reason that we're having this series this fall about heritage. It's called Your Heritage. And they've identified some things that people who are leaving strong spiritual legacies do. They're like some habits. I think there's six of them. People leaving strong spiritual legacies acknowledge and reinforce spiritual realities. They view God as a personal, caring being who is to be both loved and respected, not feared and avoided. They make spiritual activities a routine aspect of their life. People who are leaving strong spiritual legacies talk about spiritual issues as a means of reinforcing spiritual commitments. This sounds very academic. Just stay with me. People who leave strong spiritual legacies, they clarify timeless truth. They maintain right from wrong. It's not obscure and gray. There's right and wrong, and it's morally absolute. They also incorporate spiritual principles into everyday living. The things that the scriptures tell us to do, we practice those things. You know, leaving a spiritual legacy behind isn't really complicated, but it's rarely accidental. People who leave great spiritual legacies, it's something that they do on purpose. It's intentional. It's like the scripture says, it's people who make the most of every opportunity. It's this simple. Whatever you find yourself doing, are you showing people Jesus? Are you planting the truth of God's word in people? It's really no different than planting seeds in the dirt, especially when you think of that we were created from dirt. Are you planting seeds in the dirt? You know how you do that? You just put them there. You just put the seed in the dirt. You might go back and water it. You might even feed it. But the thing that all of us do when we put a seed in the dirt, we have to trust that the seed's going to grow. Because we might miss a day of watering. You just have to trust that the truth of God's word is going to grow into whatever it's supposed to do and whatever it's supposed to be. You trust that God's word's going to accomplish whatever it has set out to accomplish. Remember in Isaiah 55, it says, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I set it out to desire and what I desire it to achieve. It'll achieve the purpose I sent it for. Bethel churches. Have you heard of Bethel, the Bethel church movement? Bill Johnson. He's leaving a great spiritual legacy as a pastor and as a church planter in that Bethel movement. But you don't have to be a pastor or a church planter to leave a spiritual legacy. A good friend of mine here, Jason Jordan, he's leaving a spiritual legacy as he's an engineer at Whirlpool. And he works making robotic things make machines. But he's leaving a spiritual legacy for people in how he speaks to people. in the way that he encourages people. You can leave a spiritual legacy in the way you speak God's truth into other people's lives. You can leave a spiritual legacy in the way you respond to hardship in your own life. When you splash people with hope, you're leaving a spiritual legacy. The way you show others that they're valuable. And also the way that you act and the things that you do when you don't think anyone's looking, because people are watching. You're leaving a great spiritual legacy when you're following God in the secret places. I'm going to invite a musician to come forward. Our founding pastor, I never had the blessing of meeting him, but I've learned from him because he has left a legacy here. John Watson. One thing that he taught was that God's people were made to live their lives in such a way as to make Jesus famous. And he also taught that you're only able to make Jesus as famous as he already is to you. Does that make sense? You know, as people, we talk about the things that we know. You can't act like Jesus if you don't know how Jesus acts. And you won't know how Jesus acts unless you spend time with him. You won't know how Jesus acts unless you spend time with his people. And you spend time in the Word and get to know him. You can't tell people about the reality of how much of a difference God's made in your life unless you know the truth of how God really has made a difference in your life. You can't identify with Christ unless you know your Christian identity. People talk about the things they know. And I want you to know who you are because of Christ. Because I believe that once we know who we are because of Christ, then we're going to live like that. We're going to live like kings and queens and sons and daughters. Like ones who know that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. We're going to know, we will live like we know that we have victory. And that there's no temptation that we're powerless against. We'll live that way when we know what's true. And when we're living like that, great spiritual legacies are being built. There's a great book by Neil Anderson. It's called Victory Over the Darkness. And in that book, he identifies some key Bible verses that reveal our Christian identity. They tell us what's true about us because of Jesus. We're going to fly through this, but I want you guys to be thinking about this. In just a few moments, I'm going to ask you to stand up because one of these areas is going to speak louder to you than others today. And I just want to take like a temperature of the congregation this morning. So as you hear these things, some of them are going to speak loudly to you, and then we're going to stand up in a moment. Are you ready? In Christ, you are accepted. I am God's child. I'm a friend of Jesus Christ. I've been justified and accepted by God. I'm united with the Lord and I'm one with him in spirit. I've been bought with a price and I belong to God. I'm a member of Christ's body. I've been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. I am complete in Christ. I have direct access to the throne of grace through Jesus. You are accepted in Christ, but you're also secure. In Christ, I am secure. I am free from condemnation. I am assured that God works for my good in all circumstances. I cannot be separated from the love of God. I've been established, anointed, and sealed by God. I'm hidden with God in Christ. I'm confident that God will complete the good work that he started in me. I'm a citizen of heaven. I'm born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. You are secure in Christ, but you're also significant. I'm the branch of Jesus Christ, the true vine, and I am a channel of his life. I am God's temple. His glory lives in me. I'm a minister of reconciliation for God. I'm seated with Jesus in the heavenly realm. I am God's masterpiece, created to do His works He prepared for me in advance. I may approach God with freedom and with confidence. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I'm an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ. I've been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. I am significant in Christ. Because of Jesus, you're accepted and you're secure and you're significant. I want to have an opportunity for you to just act in this. And I am taking a little picture of a snapshot of who we are this morning, because God's word is powerful, like Elizabeth said as she was singing. If the fact that in Christ you are accepted today speaks loud in your life, I want you to stand up. If the fact that in Christ you are secure, if that's speaking loudly to you, I invite you to stand up. And for those that are left, in Christ you are significant. You have purpose. Your life has meaning and you are important. And so as you stand up, in that reality, I'm just going to pray. Lord, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you that each one here has heard your voice and that you've given them your acceptance. You've embraced them. You've given them a security like nothing else can. They're safe. We are safe in you, Christ. And you've given us purpose and meaning, and you've called us significant. I thank you for that truth. And Lord, right now I pray that your Spirit would speak to each one of us right now, and you'd give each one of us a vision of what that legacy that we're leaving looks like. How are you calling us, Lord, to live for you? And Lord, I pray right now you'd empower us to do what you've shown us, that you'd let us walk in that power and in that strength, believing that we are what you say we are. In Jesus' name, amen.